All right, so we're diving into chapter 10 today. This one's all about presentation aids, those things that can really make or break a speech. We're going to break down the chapter, a key point, so you can totally rock your next presentation right. Think of this as like your cheat sheet for using these aids well without, you know, letting them take over the whole show.
It's interesting. The chapter starts off, it really stresses that good speaking skills, those are still key for a killer presentation. But it makes a super strong argument for aids. When they're done right, they can just boost your speech. In a huge way.
Okay, so that makes sense. But, like, why are they so powerful? Is it just because they make things look all fancy?
No, not at all. The chapter digs into the science, the why. Turns out, like, a massive chunk of how we learn is visual, like 83%.
Wow, okay.
So using visual aids, you're tapping into how our brains are literally wired to learn.
So it's not just about, like, adding glitter and stuff. It's about actually working with how our brains work.
Exactly, yeah. And the chapter lays down these two, like, super important principles to using them right. First off, the aid, whatever it is, it's got to connect directly to what you're talking about. No random images just because they look cool. And then timing is key. You got to introduce it at the exact perfect moment for, like, maximum impact, you know?
Oh, I see. So it's kind of like you're setting up a punchline, right? You build up to it and bam, the visual hits.
Yeah.
And it just drives the point home.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's all about that, like, synergy between your words and your aids. And then the chapter goes on. It outlines these four main ways presentation aids can actually work for you. So they can clarify, like, complex info. They emphasize key points. They can help people remember things. And they boost your credibility as a speaker.
Okay, let's break those down a bit. So first up, clarifying complex info. I'm guessing that's where charts and diagrams come in.
Totally, yeah. Imagine you're trying to explain something super complicated, like how a bill actually becomes a law. Just talking about it, it could get so dry. But show a flowchart, suddenly it's all clear.
Makes sense. What about emphasizing key points? How do aids help with that?
Okay, think of it like this. You're giving a presentation on climate change, right? And you want to hit hard on rising sea levels. You could just say sea levels are rising. But showing a map with those areas, you know, highlighted in red, that's going to make a much bigger impact.
Right. It's like a visual punch to the gut. Makes the audience really pay attention.
Exactly. And then there's memory. We all know pictures stick in our heads better than just words. Like, think about how easily you picture, like, a famous painting or a logo, even if you haven't seen it in ages. A strong visual in your presentation can do the same thing. Makes your points stick.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. What about boosting credibility? How do aids help with that?
Well, imagine, right? You're giving a presentation and you just got your notes versus someone who has this well-designed slideshow, maybe some props, and they're handling it all, like, seamlessly. Who are you going to see as more, like, professional, more knowledgeable?
Definitely the one who looks like they have their act together, for sure. Okay, so we've talked about the good stuff, all the awesome things aids can do. But I'm guessing there are also some potential pitfalls.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The chapter warns against going overboard with the aids. It's totally a less is more kind of thing. Too many bells and whistles can just distract from your message.
Yeah, I've definitely sat through those presentations where the slides were just so busy, full of text, I couldn't even focus on what they were saying.
Exactly, exactly. Another pitfall is, like, relying too much on your aids. They're there to support you, not replace you. You're the one driving the presentation, not the slideshow, not the props.
So it's like, you're the chef, right? The ingredients are important, but you're the one who knows how to combine them. Make something delicious.
That is a great analogy. And speaking of ingredients, the chapter breaks down the types of presentation aids you can use. They fall into two main categories, representations of data and then representations of reality.
Okay, let's unpack that. What exactly are representations of data?
Think charts, graphs, diagrams, that kind of thing. They're awesome for taking complex info, like statistics, research findings, all that, and making them visually digestible for the audience.
So instead of throwing numbers at people, you give them a visual that helps them understand what those numbers actually mean.
Precisely. And then you've got representations of reality. Those are things like maps, photos, audio clips, videos, even physical objects.
So if you're talking about, say, deforestation, you might show a photo of a deforested area, or even bring in, like, a piece of wood from a rainforest.
Exactly. Exactly. It's about bringing those abstract concepts to life, making them real for your audience. Now, choosing the right type of aid, that's crucial. And the chapter really dives deep into all the different options, how to use them well.
That's awesome. I'm ready to dig into those details. But maybe we should save that for part two. Give our listeners a chance to process all this good stuff.
Welcome back. So before we get into, like, the specifics of all the different types of aids, I want to emphasize this one thing the chapter really hits on. Presentation aids, they should never replace the speaker.
Right, because at the end of the day, you're the one giving the presentation, not the slideshow, not the posters or whatever.
Exactly. You're the expert, the storyteller. The aids, they just enhance your message, you know, make it more impactful, more engaging, but they can't do all the work for you.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I'm keeping that in mind for sure. So you were about to dive into the different types of aids. Like, let's pick up where we left off with representations of data.
Right. Okay, so let's say you've got a bunch of data and you need to share it with your audience. Maybe it's like statistics, survey results, financial figures, all that. Charts and graphs, those are your best friends here. They can take those numbers and turn them into something visual, you know, appealing, easy to understand.
Okay, so what are some of the like key types of charts and graphs, the ones I should really know about?
All right, well, first you've got statistical charts. These are great for presenting raw data in a really organized way. But, and the chapter's really clear about this, don't make them too complicated. Keep it simple, focus on the most important numbers, make sure it's easy for people to follow.
So no dumping a giant spreadsheet on a slide and expecting everyone to like magically understand it?
Definitely not, no way. The goal is to clarify, not confuse, right? Now with graphs, there are a few like go-to options. Line graphs, those are great for showing trends over time. Like think about tracking the stock market or charting the growth of a company. That upward or downward line, it tells a story visually.
Gotcha. And I'm guessing bar graphs are good for comparisons.
You got it. Want to show what different products are doing in terms of sales or compare like voter demographics across different regions. Bar graphs make those comparisons super clear.
Okay, so line graphs for trends, bar graphs for comparisons. What about pie charts? Where do those fit in?
Pie charts are perfect for showing proportions. Like, let's say you're talking about budget allocation. You could use a pie chart to show how much money goes to each department. Or maybe you're discussing market share, right? Each slice of the pie represents a company's portion of the market.
Right. Pie charts make it easy to see the big picture.
Exactly, yeah. And then we've got diagrams. These are like visual superheroes when it comes to explaining stuff, like complex processes or breaking down how something works. Think about the human circulatory system, right? Way easier to understand when you see a diagram. The heart, the blood vessels, all laid out.
Okay, so diagrams are like visual roadmaps for understanding complex stuff.
That's a great way to put it, yeah. Now let's shift gears a bit, talk about representations of reality. These aids, they bring your ideas to life using visuals or even tangible elements, things you can touch.
So like maps, photos, and objects, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Maps are amazing for providing context, showing spatial relationships, you know? If you're talking about population density, you might show a map with different colors for different population levels. Or discussing historical events, you could use a map to show troop movements or how an empire spread out.
Yeah, maps can make history come alive.
Totally, in a way that textbooks just can't. And then photographs and drawings, those can be so powerful for evoking emotions, creating a lasting impression. A good image, well chosen, can really drive home a point, especially when you're talking about something, you know, sensitive or impactful.
Like showing a photo of the devastation from a natural disaster.
Right.
Or maybe like a portrait of someone affected by the issue you're talking about.
Exactly. Images connect with people on a different level. Makes your message more memorable.
Now, what about audio and video clips? I've seen those used well in presentations. But I can also see how they could go wrong, you know?
Yeah. They can be tricky, for sure. The chapter addresses this. Keep them short and relevant. You don't want to lose people's attention with a long, rambling video. And definitely no awkward ad interruptions or anything.
Oh, yeah, that just screams unprofessional.
Exactly. And make sure you give context. Don't just play a clip and expect everyone to get why it's there. You got to explain what they're going to see, what they should be paying attention to.
So audio and video. Short, relevant, provide context.
Got it.
And last but not least, we've got objects. Bringing in tangible items, you know, things you can touch that can add a wow factor to your presentation.
Yeah.
Make your ideas more concrete. The chapter uses this example, comparing water bottles, a plastic one versus a reusable one. Holding them up side by side, that makes a statement much stronger than just talking about plastic's impact, you know?
Yeah, that's a great example. It's like giving people a tangible version of the concept. Precisely. So we've covered a lot here. Representations of data, charts, graphs, diagrams, representations of reality, maps, photos, audio, video, objects. Now, the next step is figuring out how to integrate all of this seamlessly into your presentation.
Right, because it's one thing to hey, VE, all these Kool-Aids, But if you don't use them well, it's a disaster.
Absolutely. The chapter has some fantastic tips on integration. But before we get into those, maybe we should give our listeners a minute to catch their breath. Process all this info. We'll pick up with integration in part 3.
Okay, we're back, ready to tackle the last piece of this puzzle. Integration, right? We've talked about all these different presentation aids, but how do we actually make them work smoothly in our presentations?
The chapter really stresses smooth transitions. Like, it's like those moments in a movie where the scene changes, but it feels so natural, not jarring or anything. You want that same flow between your words and your aids.
No, like awkward fumbling with the projector or scrambling for a prop while everyone stares at you.
Exactly, yeah. The chapter even suggests, like, marking cues right in your notes to remind yourself when to use each aid. Something simple, like writing show slide 3, can be a lifesaver when you're up there and the nerves hit.
Oh, that's a good tip. It's like a roadmap so you don't get lost.
Yeah, and it's also important to plan where your aids are going to live when you're not using them. A cluttered stage or a table full of stuff. That's distracting for the audience. Tuck those aids away, ready to go when you need them, but out of sight otherwise.
Right, because you want the focus on you and your message, not on all the random stuff cluttering the place up.
Exactly, yep. Now let's talk slideshows. The chapter has some good stuff on using slides well. One thing that stood out to me, using blank slides or black slides strategically.
Okay, I'm curious. Why would you want a blank slide? Wouldn't that be boring?
Well, think about it. You just showed this super powerful image or a graph that makes everyone think. You want to give them a moment to process it before moving on, right? A blank slide gives their eyes a break, lets them reset, refocus on you.
Like hitting the pause button for a sec so the audience can really take it in.
Yeah, precisely. It's about pacing, creating a rhythm. Now, beyond those practical tips, the chapter also talks about presentation aids as tools and like.
Oh, okay. I think I see where you're going with this. Like any tool, they can be used for good or for bad.
Exactly. It's not just about using them effectively. It's about using them ethically, you know? We have a responsibility to make sure our aids are accurate, fair to our audience.
So no doctoring photos to make your point seem stronger. Or like cherry picking data to support your argument.
No way. We got to be honest, transparent, and also mindful of how our aids might impact people. Some images, sounds could be triggering, you know? Got to be sensitive to that.
Right. It's like being aware of the power of these tools.
Right.
And using them responsibly.
Absolutely. So we've covered a ton in this deep dive. Functions of presentation aids, the pitfalls, all the different types you can use, even the ethical side of things.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind tour of presentation aids. But I feel like I learned so much.
I hope so. The big takeaway is they're powerful tools, right? They can make your speaking better, your message stronger, more memorable. But they're just tools. You're the one in control. Use them wisely, ethically, creatively. And you'll be giving presentations that really connect.
And never forget the power of your own voice, your presence. That's the heart and soul of any good presentation. All right, that wraps up our deep dive on Chapter 10. From Speak Out, Call In. Hope this was helpful as you prep for your next presentation. Until next time, happy speaking.